You are listening to a sermon series from Open Door Fellowship Church.
Good morning, Open Door.
Good morning.
For those of you that are new or weren't here last week, my name is Caleb Winch, and I'm going to get to share the good word with you today. Really excited to be with you guys. This is an honor for me to get to be up here and get to share with you. I'm a part of the preaching team here at Open Door, and every time I get the opportunity to be up here, it feels sacred. I hope you know that I carry it that way, and that at times I have anxiety with that, but I want you to know that I'm honored to be up here, and I'm honored that you show up to hear me. Some of our men are up at the men's retreat. They got some snow last night, yesterday, something like that, so that's kind of cool, right? Women, it was Mother's Day last week, and then they kind of like prove that you're a good mom because we're going to go out of town and you take care of our kids all the time. So bad timing on that. But either way, for those of you that are men and you're not there, step up your game next year. Be there. I would be there, but I had to do this. We are in Acts. We've been going through Acts for many, many weeks now. Last week, we covered Acts 10 and a little bit of 11. We kind of told the story of Peter waking up to this reality that he was going to get to share the Holy Spirit and the good news of Jesus to the Gentiles, which essentially are all those who are not Jews. And it was a powerful story. Powerful story. Essentially, the reason we're sitting in this room today is because of what Peter and what took place in that event and in that story. And so we got to unpack that story last week, and I left us with an invitation of this reality that we are now a part of the kingdom of God. We got in, not on our own doing, but as a gift, and now we have the keys to the kingdom. And so I threw out some keys at the end of the service. I almost killed some people over here on the first service. But threw out some keys and invited us to continue this thought of how we now get to be a part of transforming this world. And the stipulation with the keys, we all have them, is that we would go and make duplicates. And this event that Peter and Cornelius, this Gentile man, exchanged in was this event that was supernatural. It was kind of like the unthinkable. Like, no way these guys get in. And for us to get to be those guys. And now for us, we get to say, who do we get to let in? Who are we going to make people get the keys for and pass them on? And so that was where we were last week. There was a line throughout the story that was a powerful, powerful sentence. And I kind of skipped right over it. I wanted to save it for today. So John, you put that line up. What God has made clean, do not call common. If you have your Bibles, please open it to Acts 10. We're going to get back right in there again. And I intentionally did not want to handle this verse last week. I wanted to, for us to be able to experience the story of what took place, and I wanted us to be able to celebrate and be convicted to then get to pass on the good news. And I wanted to save this for this week. This very sentence, this very phrase, and then we'll go back through a little bit of the event here, this very sentence was literally the thing that got Peter up off of his knees and moved him to go and change the world, to give the rest of the world Jesus. I hope that in today, in unpacking this statement alone, that it gives us a similar application, that it gives us a similar belief that we also can get up off of our knees and get to change this world. And that it would hit us all in different ways. It's going to hit us all in different ways. And that's okay. But that it actually would move us. That there would actually be application to these words. Not that it's just a truth statement, because it is. It's an incredible truth statement. But that it would move past that today. So that is my prayer. The story, Peter is praying. And this guy Cornelius has just been given orders to go find Peter and bring him back to him. And so he sends some people, and Peter at the time is praying. And this vision comes where there's this blanket, and it gets lowered down on four corners, and in it there are animals, all different types of creatures. And God says to Peter, "Peter, get up and eat it." And Peter says, "By no means, Lord. By no means. You know that I don't do that. You know that I have never partaken in anything unclean or unholy before." And God reminds him, and he says this to him. He says, "Peter, what God has made clean, do not consider common." And it's this reality of, Peter, what I did on the cross actually worked. It actually made a difference. And in that moment, Peter gets up, he finds the men that are going, that are coming for him, and he gets up and he goes with them to spread the news to the Gentiles, the very people that he didn't want to spread the news to. If I were to, and don't do it, but if I were to ask you to raise your hand, and I asked you this question, for those of you that believe it, I said, when you became a Christian, when you believed in Jesus Christ, do you believe that the Holy Spirit actually entered inside you and that you now have the Holy Spirit within you? Most of us in this room would say, absolutely. Right? That's kind of a given. Okay? And if I asked the second question on top of that, if I said, okay, how do you believe that that's true? Why do you believe that that's true? Most of you would not say, because the Bible tells me so. Right? Most of us would say, because I felt it. Because the other day when I was fighting with my spouse, I was able to go and say I was sorry, even though I still wanted to hold on to what I believe. Right? Most of us would say, there was this day where I was moved to do this and this, and I truly believed I was the Spirit of the living God within. But those of us who have put our trust in Jesus, we can easily recall on those events. We would say, yeah, I think the Holy Spirit dwells within me. If I asked you a second question, if I said, how many of you believe that on the day you chose to put your trust in Jesus Christ, you actually were made clean? You actually were made whole. You actually were set apart. You were made righteous. You were made pure. You were made without blemish. That one might take a little longer to get out of there. Here's something crazy. Here's a crazy concept. If you can hold tight to this, this is unbelievable. The reality that the Holy Spirit of the living God dwells within you is proof that you have been made clean, that you are no longer common. Because here's the truth. The Spirit of the living God cannot dwell in anything that is not clean, in anything that has not been made pure, that has not been made right. And so because that has happened, the day, the second that you chose to put your faith in Jesus Christ, because that took place, the Holy Spirit goes, well, that looks like a clean place to live. And he shows up. So the very reality of this statement is true because you actually have the Holy Spirit living within you. And most of you have a lot of examples of how you know that the Spirit lives within you, so which makes this statement as well true. Jesus does it like this. He tells the story. Well, not the story. But if you turn to your Bible, if you turn to your Bibles to Luke, we're in Luke 5, 27 to the end of the chapter. If you have your Bibles, go there. This is the story where Jesus calls Levi to be one of his disciples, one of his followers. And Levi, for a background story, he's a tax collector, kind of someone people don't really like a whole lot. And Jesus walks up to him, he says, "Levi, I want you to follow me." And Levi's got this table of money, and he goes, "Okay, let's go." And he follows him. And then the next event we hear of is that Levi throws this huge party with all of his tax collector friends. And others, they call it, and others. Who they were. Either way, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, get tipped off that there's going to be this party going on. And so they show up. And they're ready to just kind of see what's going on. Here's this Jesus guy that they're already kind of a little iffy about. He's saying things that are rubbing them a little bit the wrong way. And all of a sudden now, he and his disciples are hanging out with kind of the rough crowd. And so the Pharisees show up and they say this really interesting statement. They grab Jesus aside, and I don't know how the exchange goes, but they say to him, Jesus, the disciples, your disciples, well, the disciples of John the Baptist, you know, they fast and they often pray, and the disciples of the Pharisees, they do the same. But yours, your crew, they kind of just drink and eat, and they hang out with this crowd. And Jesus is so cool. He goes, okay, let me try to make some sense of this for you. You were talking about fasting or something. Here's the deal. You're not going to fast while the bridegroom is still with you. It's kind of this sense of mourning. You're not going to mourn while the bridegroom is still with you. And he goes, you got it? And they go, no. And he goes, let me try again. He goes, you're not going to take a new garment and cut out a patch and patch an old garment. Okay? You wouldn't waste that new garment and put it onto an old garment and patch it up, because first of all, you wasted the new garment, and now the second garment still doesn't look that cool. You got it? No? Okay, let me try one more. So you've got this wine, right? And you've got new wine. And you wouldn't put new wine into an old wineskin. Because if you did, right, you put it in, you seal it up, and it ferments, and it expands, and the old brittle wineskin breaks. You wouldn't do that. You know what you would do, he says? Somebody said they had a really important book. Sorry that I lost my spot. He says this. But what you would do is you would put new wine in fresh wineskins. What's he saying here? What's he saying here? He's saying to these Pharisees, nothing you did. You're trying to put a band-aid on a broken person and hope that that's what makes them right, that's what makes them correct, or whatever you're wanting them to be. Here's the reality. I'm going to make them new, and then I'm going to put the good stuff in them. Like the Holy Spirit made. Yeah. Right? This is before he's died on the cross. This is before he's risen from the dead. This is before Acts took place and people are being filled with the Holy Spirit. He's saying, listen to what's going to happen, you guys. You got to make them new. And so this statement here, understand this. What he's saying is, I made you new so that I could then, in fact, give you my Spirit. Pretty cool. Now, the second proof that this statement might actually be real, might actually be true, is that if you get to have communion and fellowship with the God of the universe whenever you want. That's a crazy reality. I don't know if you remember when Jesus is up on the cross, we're in Matthew 27:50, when Jesus is up on the cross and he's crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And they're saying, is he calling out to Elijah? What is he doing? And then all of a sudden, he yells out and gives out his last breath and he dies. And in both Matthew and Mark, the very next words that are written here are, and behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The veil was torn. Interesting that that's the very next statement that both of them use. What's significant about that? Because you remember, only the high priest once a year got to go in and be in the presence of the living God. Once a year. And the day he died on the cross and you chose to believe it, you get to go into the holiest of holies whenever you want and have communion with the God of the universe. Whenever you want. You must be pretty clean to be able to do that. So what, right? So that's cool. That's amazing. It's unbelievable. So what? So why did it get Peter up off of his knees and for him to walk out with these Gentiles who he kind of disliked and say, you know what, I'm going to go be used by God to change the world. So what? I can tell you what it doesn't mean. And again, not something that I am excited to share with you. Last week I shared this reality that I have a hard time giving people Jesus because I fear that they're going to take advantage of it. Because I fear that it's going to get messy. And so the line I use is, I don't want to give you Jesus unless you're going to live this Christian life the way I do. Right? I'm a gross thought. Sorry. This time around, there's this new reality for me of what this doesn't mean. I want you guys to know this. Some of you have felt this. Those of you that are close to me may I can easily hold you to a different standard than I even hold myself. And what I mean is, I can believe this. I can believe that God loves me, and that when I sin, He forgives me, and I can go to Him anytime and say, God, I've messed up again, and He's going to go, come on, I love you. I can believe that for me. But as soon as you screw up, I'm the first Pharisee to show up and kind of do this number. I easily can put you to the fire. And it's gross. And some of you in this room would go, he's telling me the truth. And I hate it about me. And part of it's great. Part of it's me saying, gosh, don't take advantage of this Jesus. Don't take advantage of this new life in Christ. Don't play a game with it. But part of me is that I don't believe this is true about you. I'll be honest. Part of me believes that it's true about me, but I don't yet see it in you. I don't believe that the God of the universe actually died for you as well, and that He's actually made you clean, and that you actually have the Spirit of the living God within you. I can forget it. I don't know how, I don't know why, but I can go there. And I know if I do it, there's other us in the room that do it too. Right? And if there's me doing that, then there's the other side of the coin. There are those of us in this room that have felt like black sheep. Right? Have felt like, yeah, I put my trust in Jesus a long time ago, and I believe Him, and I believe that there is probably a God out there that loves me, and I don't know how to get into the inner circle. I don't know how to do this Christian life well. I feel like every time I try to, I screw up, and then there's people judging me or whatever, and so I've left the church at times, and I've come back, and I've gone, and I don't even know. My own shame takes me away from it more than anything else, right? I sin, and I mess up, and all of a sudden, I'm going, gosh, it must not have worked, right? And I can beat myself up, and I can beat myself up, and I've only ever just run along the edges. I've never been in it. Shame on me. Shame on us. Shame on the church. Don't ever let any religion or any Christian or any man ever tell you that you are calm, because you are no longer calm. You get to enter into the Holy of Holies whenever you want and be in the presence of the living God whenever you want. You are not calm. So first of all, if I can believe that this is true about you, what it does is it does the same thing of my response to Jesus. It does allow me to walk up to you and grab you. I love you. I'm for you. Let's link arms. Let's do this life together. We've got a revolution. We've got to go change this world for Jesus. Right? That's what it does to me if I can believe that's true about you. But if you can believe that this is true about yourself, you'll actually live it. You'll actually live it. If I walked up to you today and I said to you, you are the kindest person I know. You're the very kindest person I know. For the rest of the week, you're walking around with this stature of, kind, and you're loving on people, and you're giving things away, right? Because you believe it. If I walked up to you and I said, you're the very funniest person I know. You are hilarious. You'd be telling jokes all day. You know what I mean, right? If I told you, those are the nicest pants you own. Those look so good on you. You might take them to Goodwill because you're like, Caleb has no sense of style. Actually, I'm looking pretty good today. But the reality is, if you believe that you have actually been made clean and that you are no longer calm, you will actually live it. And when you actually live it, you'll get to actually do what you've been created to do, which is to give your life away and to love. And you'll no longer feel like you need to run along the edges anymore. Because when you're giving your life away, when you're loving, when you're investing into others, you feel like you're right in the center of it all. Promise you. Believe it. For those of you who have not heard this message before, this is not just an invitation for you today. This is an invitation for all of us. It's an invitation for me to say, God, will you continue to remind me that what you did on the cross actually worked, and how I get to be used by your kingdom to give people Jesus? And it's an invitation for those of us who are still struggling to believe that this can actually be true about us. It's an invitation for us to fall back on our knees again before Jesus and say, really? Did it really work? Did it really happen? Because it doesn't feel like it every day. Jesus, tell me that it really happened. Tell me that it really worked. It's an invitation for that. And if you were here last week, they gave this picture. They gave this picture of how in Eastern tradition, if you were a person of authority, when someone of a less stature would come to you and you're about to engage in conversation or whatever else, the person of authority would take your face, you'd kind of bow down, and they would take your face and lift it up and look at you eye to eye, as to say, we're on the same page right now. If you have never felt that, if you have never experienced the God of the universe taking your face and lifting it up and staring into your eyes and saying, you're welcome here, I love you, this is an invitation for you today. This is an invitation for you to get to believe in this Jesus Christ who really was who he said he was, and just by you believing in him, you become clean. You are no longer common. You are a part of the elite. The ones that get to be in his presence. That very second, that's all it takes, you got to believe. And here's what's cool. In that very moment, God goes, well, hey, there's a good place to let my spirit live. That looks pretty clean. And you get the Holy Spirit, the living God, living within you. If this is the first time that you have ever heard this, don't wait. This Jesus is for you as much as it's for anyone else. He's calling your name, and he wants you, and he needs you. And he needs you to be a part of this revolution with him, to get to change the world, to get to love others. Open door, none of you are common. You are a part of this royal priesthood that gets to carry on the name of Jesus into this world, into this city, among those people you saw. This is you, this is us, this is it. And you all have been made clean, clean enough so that the very living spirit of the God of the universe can dwell within you so that he can go and be used through you to change the world. You no longer see yourself as common, you're not. Amen.